Hi, everyone. This is Kevin. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, and joining me on the podcast is Emil Cassiano. So since July of 2019, Emil has led the design and engineering organization, and in December, we announced Emil's new role as Vice President of Nuclear Operations and Fleet Support, reporting to me. And this is an exciting opportunity, I think, for all of us as we think about why we made this move, and specifically, we did it because of the significant workload we've got as we go through two concurrent programs, Virginia and Columbia, going forward. So standing up somebody with Emil's experience and leadership capability on the waterfront to help us as we go forward is critically important to our success going forward in the future. So today, Emil and I are going to talk about this new position, which is a new role for the company, and the part his team is going to play in enabling this once-in-a-generation level of delivery we've committed to our customers. So welcome, Emil. Good to have you on the podcast. And to start, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my new role. I came to Electric Boat after 31 years in the Navy, serving in the submarine force. Had served on four submarines, all of them EB built, and commanded the USS Philadelphia and Submarine Squadron 2. So I retired from the Navy one day and started at EB the next day, working as a program manager for fleet support and the UK Trident program office. Other roles at EB included the director for mechanical engineering and design, chief nuclear officer, and most recently, vice president of design and engineering. So I forged a lot of relationships with senior leaders at naval reactors and program executive offices for Virginia and Columbia. And I plan on leveraging those relationships to deliver our awesome submarines to the fleet.
All right. Thanks, Emil. I appreciate that. And as I mentioned at the onset, your experience and your leadership is going to be key to us going forward. And I think you give us a unique perspective that we can now focus on areas that will be critical for our future and ultimately our success. So let's talk about your priorities for the groups you're leading, which are waterfront engineering. You got the nukes, the RADCON team, the compatibility test facility down in Philly, and the planning yard.
Yeah, we also picked up the R&D lab, which I think dovetails nicely with our mission on the waterfront engineering. So one of the things, the priorities are really get 793 Oregon delivered to the fleet. That's probably a few months away right now. And we got to do a lot of preparations for the Hartford overhaul. That's the biggest overhaul and repair job we've ever done. So that'll be starting in a few months' time up at the base. As you all know, we have an annual inspection to renew our license to handle radioactive materials. So we have that this summer. So we want to get our license extended. And then longer term, we're working on the training and planning necessary to build the main motor module for Columbia. That first main propulsion motor will arrive at Quonset Point in next January. So longer term, though, we're also starting to work on what's it going to take to support the Columbia once we deliver her to the fleet. And that's a little tricky because the refit facilities in Bangor and Kings Bay will have to maintain Columbia while they're also maintaining the Ohio. So we're starting to work on that as well.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about Columbia, since that's a new class of ship and it's going to have electric drive as its propulsion system. So that's going to stretch us in some ways. So tell us what you see as the impacts to our company.
Yeah, that's a really exciting capability that we'll be delivering to the fleet. But with it comes a tail. We'll have to do some new training and develop new skills for our workforce and our supervisors and our inspectors. We're starting to build that now. And some of this equipment will also be classified. So we're looking ahead at, do we need any special security requirements or arrangements up at both Quonset Point and in Groton? We're working this a year in advance so that we can flesh it all out, make sure there's no issues that we haven't already identified, and we can attack them early so we're ready when that motor arrives in January of next year.
Great. Now let's turn a little bit to talk about our nuclear departments. We're going to do something we haven't done in almost 30 years, and that is have concurrent final assembly and test of two different classes, in our case, Virginia and Columbia.
Yeah, we actually started working on this a number of years ago. We looked at where we were going to build nuclear pipe and build both of the reactor plant modules simultaneously. So you'll see a lot, there's a lot of work going on in the MCA building down in the South Yard, and that's almost nearing completion. So in there, we'll build reactor plant module. We'll start with the reactor vessels, prepping those, and we'll do small bore nuclear piping. And then in engine stores, we'll transition that to support both Columbia and Virginia large bore piping. So those upgrades are in progress right now. We'll also use a portion of the South Yard ways to set up a lagging area where we'll lag our major components for both programs. Organizationally, we have already changed up waterfront engineering a bit. We have two senior managers reporting under the director of waterfront engineering. So Chris Doyle will lead the charge on Virginia programs, and Kevin Kunkel will come over from New London, and he'll lead the charge on overhaul and repair jobs and pave the way for Columbia. Shortly, we'll start the necessary training for our testers on the S-1B reactor plant, and we'll start staffing up waterfront engineering, which I expect will grow about 200 heads over the next few years. And also, we're starting to look at Columbia build, and there are several unique first-time evolutions that we haven't ever done before. So this year, we're going to start looking hard at the risks associated with those first-time evolutions, and we'll build plans to identify the risk and manage them so they don't become crises as we approach each one of those first-time ever evolutions.
The nukes certainly are going to be in an exciting period of time as they develop a lot of that capability that you outlined. And you and I have talked a lot about customer service being a significant role for you as you take on your new position here. So let's talk about that. What other additional opportunities do you see for supporting your customer coming from the team?
I really focus this on our Navy customer, supporting our commissioned ships and the support we provide with our planning yards. As a reminder, our planning yard team provides lifecycle support for commissioned boats in the Navy's fleet, including engineering, design, and logistics. We do the engineering and design work necessary to make alterations to commissioned ships, maintain procedures, and even upgrade training facilities. So we're working hard, as I mentioned previously, to set up the maintenance facilities at Bangor and Kings Bay, which will be the future homes of the Columbia fleet. We're going to set that up almost 6 to 7 years ahead of what we did on Virginia from some hard lessons learned on what we did with that program. So there's a lot of growth work in that area, and that's what we're going after.
Okay, let's also talk about the customer here within the shipyard, that internal customer. So one of the keys to achieving the mission is to provide our tradesmen and women with design, plan, and materials they need. And I think we're getting better on that, but there's certainly a lot of room to improve. So towards that goal, the waterfront engineering team is going to be playing a critical role. So give us some perspective on that.
Yeah, the way I see it, our waterfront engineering team's job is really to support the mechanics on the deck plate, whether it's at Quonset Point or down here in Groton. And we want to provide every bit of engineering assistance to our trades folks that they may need. So we want to be there to say, hey, it looks like you're struggling with that. I can help you. Answer any questions. Just be there to look for process improvements or anticipate there's going to be a problem in this area because we always struggle with this part of the procedure. And we just want to be there on the deck plate to provide help, not a hammer, but a helping hand to get the job done right. And I think it really provides some unique development opportunities, and it's exciting work. So it's one thing to do all the engineering and design work, but it's a really exciting and fulfilling career path to take that engineering and design knowledge and actually take it over to the yard and help build Columbia or VPM. So. As I said, we're going to grow quite a bit on the waterfront engineering, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. I couldn't imagine a better path to develop a well-rounded engineer. And frankly, I absolutely love it being on the waterfront, and I think some people might be intimidated by it, but it's a tremendously rewarding opportunity.
I couldn't agree more. I love my time in operations at NASSCO, and I love every opportunity I have to interact with the guys who actually are doing the work and putting these things together across the board. So thanks, Emil. I appreciate you sitting down with me today and giving our listeners the opportunity to learn more about what we've got in store for you and your new role. So thanks, everyone, and we'll talk again soon.